T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
We all want to get off to a good start. I think what we're doing a little bit right now is maybe just trying to press and do too much. Everybody's trying to come in and whether it be a hitting situation or a pitching situation and be the guy. That's hard to do over 162 games. So I think we put such an emphasis on getting off to a good start that, I think it's kind of hanging over our heads a little bit right now.
Middays on the Score.
Jed Hoyer is the general manager of the Chicago Cubs, and he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. The Bernstein and McKnight Show broadcasting live here from the lobby of Prudential Plaza at 12 Prue. This is our Back to Baseball live broadcast brought to you by Redemption Rye Whiskey and Sweetwater Tavern and Grill. You heard those comments there, Jed, from John Lester, who's an important voice in that locker room and in the clubhouse. What do you think upon hearing what he said?
You know, I think John's got obviously a good feel for what's going on in the clubhouse. And, you know, I think there's just a level of frustration, and whether that's caused by guys pressing or just caused by a collection of poor performances or whatever it might be, I think there's a level of frustration. And I think, we won opening day. I think we've had a chance to win 3 of the 4 games since then. We probably should have won 3 of those 4 games, and we haven't. And I think that, you know, when that happens, there's a sense of frustration, a sense of guys probably trying to force your way out of that rut. And so I think that happens in sports. I think they're human. And, you know, when it happens in the middle of July, you lose 4 out of 5 and you struggle to close some games out. I think when it happens then, people take it in stride because you've got 3 months worth of data to support you. And I think that, you know, whenever things happen at the beginning of the season, it feels that much worse because you have no, nothing else to kind of gain some standing on, nothing good to lean on based on your first 3 months. So our only data right now is that we've blown 3 of the last 4 games. And, you know, I think that when that happens, there is a sense of frustration and a sense of guys trying to do too much.
I would imagine that with that sense of frustration, Jed, comes a need to kind of like level it a little bit. I know watching games, it's easy to remind yourself on the one hand that it can't be like this the rest of the season. Things will level out. It's early. On the other hand, that losing games this way is as frustrating as ever. Is it more difficult for you to level things from where you're sitting, given the expectations and given the talking points that you and Theo had this offseason?
I mean, I think it is a little bit. I think you try to put it all in context and think to yourself, okay, this is 5 games. The good news is that we probably should have won 4 of the 5 games, that we played well enough to be in them. We had that one horrible game, on Monday, but other than that, in the other 4 games, we've really put ourselves in position to win. In a lot of ways, we've swung the bats really well. There are positives to draw on. It's just that, the 7th and 8th inning have just killed us. We've let leads get away. Obviously, we walked a ton of guys, So, yeah, I think it is a little bit more difficult to do that early in the season. On the one hand, you've got 157 more to let it even out. But at the same time, you just sort of feel like you're sort of giving away games that you should win. And we all know how hard it is to win at the major league level. Like, you're going to have plenty of games when you lose 5-1 or you lose 7-2 or nothing goes your way and you just lose that game, like Monday. It's more frustrating when you give away games that you've played well enough as an offense or a starting pitching staff. You play well enough to win. Like, you need to capture those games because it's hard to put yourself in that position.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but it feels like a big game for you, Darvish, tonight. It feels, whether it is or it isn't, all of the circumstances involved make tonight's start feel like, okay, right the ship, go out there and you know, pitch, you know, six innings, a two-run ball, some quality start, give the team a 70% correlation chance of victory. Does it feel that way internally as it does externally?
Yeah, in some ways that kind of goes back to John Lester's comment, right? They're like, you know, when you're in this kind of rut, everyone, like every game becomes that, like, not a must win, but, you know, we got to show something here. We got to do it right now. And I mean, I think that's a little bit of what John was talking about. And yeah, I do think that, you know, you really struggled in Texas with his command, you know, had the career high in walks. And I know he did a lot of good work with, you know, with Tommy Hotovy this week, you know, preparing for the start. And so, yeah, I think it is an important start to kind of get that Texas taste out of his mouth to get rid of that. But I do think that is the challenge, right? That like, you know, the next outing for, you know, Cishek is a big outing, and the next outing for Brock is a big outing. And so I think that that's kind of how this snowballs, and we sort of have to get out of that and just get back to playing baseball and having fun. And, you know, I think that's part of it. You want to show some urgency, and you want to attack the beginning of the season, but we can't ever lose that kind of joy that our team plays with. I mean, I think we need to get back to having fun. And, you know, right now it's not a lot of fun. We need to escape the rut and get back to enjoying ourselves.
Jed, you and Theo both mentioned, like when we talked at during our Scorehouse trip down to Arizona a couple of weeks ago, that you guys were going to do things a little differently, perhaps travel with the team a little bit more. Do you find yourselves doing something different over this five-game stretch than you would have, you know, 5 years ago or something? Is it a situation where you and Theo and Jed and everybody can sit down and work together on matchups? Do you reshuffle who's suitable for what hitter out of the bullpen? Or is that not – or do you not have enough sample size to do something like that yet?
As far as traveling, yeah. I mean, I think Theo and I – I was in Texas. You know, Theo was in Atlanta. You know, we're definitely going to try to travel more and be around the team more. And, you know, I think when it comes to the bullpen, you know, I think a lot of it is just get these guys right. You know, we have guys that have a track record. You know, we had a really good bullpen last season with these guys. I think a lot of it is just getting these guys right. You know, we had, like, Stropy miss most of spring training. You know, guys like Brock and Cishek are sort of coming back from some illnesses and they're a little bit weak. And we just need to get these guys back and get them to sort of where they need to be. And I think once we do that, I think that things will level off. But there's no doubt that there's a lot of those conversations going on, as there have to be. Like, who's pitching, you know, what innings, who's pitching what pockets of the lineup. Because in the bullpen, you do have to play the hot hand to a certain extent. And, you know, for example, like, you know, Kinsler's throwing really well so far. He had a really good seventh inning last night. And, you know, I think with the bullpen, you know, very quickly you move yourself into a higher leverage role when you throw well.
We talked also about what you described as the last 2 years, the data revolution with the imagery available and the density of information. How does the ability to analyze every millisecond of every vector on the field change what we accept as sample size that matters? When we used to say, you know, well, you need a good 25 games or you need 40 games into a season, now maybe we don't need as much because we can know so much more quickly. Is that accelerating?
I don't know. I don't really think so in some ways. I think on an individual basis, I think that, you know, for example, you can kind of break down a pitcher's mechanics quicker and figure out what they're doing wrong. And I think, like, you can fix things faster. But I still think it's baseball, and we still work in an industry where, you know, winning, you know, 57, 58% of your games is a playoff caliber team, you know. And so it's hard to do that in a short sample. I mean, obviously, you know, I hate the position that we're in right now at 1-4. You know, I think we're sitting here, the Astros are 2-5, the Red Sox are 2-5, the Yankees are 2-4. You know, you have some really good teams that have had really bad first weeks of the season. And so I still think when it comes to one loss record, I do think you have to kind of get into the season and see how things are. And I don't think that the new metrics and new ways you can analyze things help that, because at some point, you know, it's still a marathon of a season. It's still a sport where it's tough to win a huge percentage of your games. And so I do think that you get some time under your belt and you can get a sense a little better of, like, who is a good team and who might not, you know, have it that year.
Talking with Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Jed, we had Kelly Krull of NBC Sports Chicago on a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about her interview with Wilson Contreras and his kind of talk about what happened late in the season. He wasn't lifting. He wasn't, in his words, I think, doing the things he needed to do to remain at a level. It sounded like his interview, his exit interview with you guys was really quite something, and his emotion when talking with Kelly was really eye-opening. Have you ever been a part of an exit interview like that before? Do things go that way where someone's been so accountable to himself and to you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear her interview with him, but I mean, I kind of know roughly what he's talking about. And, you know, one of the things with Wilson that's so admirable when you sit in our chair is that, you know, no one wants to win more than that guy. He's so competitive. I mean, actually competitive really to a fault. And I think that's something that we're all working on with him. It's just, you know, hey, listen, you've got to, you play in a game of failure. You're going to have some failure. And how do you account for that failure is really important. And I think that he wants to succeed for the team so badly. He is so accountable. His work leading up to a game is flawless, and in game he just wants things to go well. And I think, you know, I think he's going to mature into a player who, I think, he's going to never lose that competitiveness, but I think he'll learn to sort of, you know, have a little bit better perspective at times on his struggles. But I mean, you want guys like that on the team that just care so much about winning, have so much pride in the uniform. And I think he's going to have a big year. I think he, you know, last year was something that was really tough on him. And I think that, you know, the winter and the off season, I think, really helped him. And he looks to be in a great frame of mind right now.
You mentioned frame. That is something he said he was going to work on. And we know this particular pitching staff, starters who, for the most part, don't throw very hard. And it's not a high velocity bullpen either. All the pitchers on this team need every bit of help they can get around the margins. How much is he working with Mike Borzello, and what are you seeing in his ability as a receiver to maximize these pitchers?
Yeah, no, he worked really hard all spring on it. You know, he goes in after every game and kind of analyzes the kind of the hits or misses, so to speak, and, you know, looking at every pitch and kind of breaking it down. And it's hard to tell so far. I mean, we've had it's hard to frame when you know guys are not commanding. You know, that's really difficult when, you know, guys are kind of missing by the width of the plate at times. And so I think that right now it'd be tough to really evaluate how the first, you know, four games he's played have gone, just because I think that we need to kind of have a bigger sample size and kind of get into the season. But I know he's working really hard at it. You know, I think that there's some technique issues, technique things you can work on and focus on. There's some focus issues, like as you get, you know, late in games. But really, like, this, like, he's so diligent. He knows that it's something he needs to work on. And I just think that, I think there's no reason in the world. He has the hand strength and the hands and the mentality for it. I think he's really just going to keep getting better and better at it.
So, Jed, going back to the piece in The Athletic from Sahada and from Patrick that came out, I think, two Sundays ago. I know Theo said that so many of these changes were organic and came from so many different voices, and that makes all the sense in the world to me. I just wonder if in the first little bit here, because of the way the losses have come around, you know, bullpens being unreliable as they can sometimes be, is it possible for you guys to determine whether things like more batting practice than there used to be, or the series-by-series lineups, these things that are long-term goals of yours, is it possible to determine whether those are working or whether those have bit and held yet?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll have to make that determination as we go. I mean, Theo's point, you know, regarding that article, and I agree with him, is like, you know, I feel like that article made it seem a little bit like we were driving these things, and really all we were trying to do is, like, we had the exit meetings and we sort of talked to our players a ton and figured out what was important to them and sort of, you know, kind of empowered them to talk about these changes and make these changes. And I think that when it comes to, you know, more communication as far as the lineup and knowing when guys are going to play, I can't imagine how that wouldn't be a positive. I mean, I think it was such a universal thing that, you know, the way we've built our team is to rely on matchups and is to rely on depth. And, you know, guys felt like they wanted to know more about when they were going to play. And I can't imagine how that wouldn't be a positive. You know, so there's things like that. I think that having a little bit more of a schedule, I think, is also something that I just think that, I think guys had sort of, had a lot of freedom. I think that they talked a lot about having a little bit more of a set schedule, and I think that'll be a big positive also. So, I mean, I think those are things that I have a hard time imagining won't be positives, but in general, I think guys came into the season in a great frame of mind. I think they were really excited to play. We've kind of gotten, kicked in the teeth here a little bit in the first five games, and we're going to find out over the next month, how well we respond to it. And it may be, it may be a good thing for us that, you face some adversity early in the season. Guys have to really kind of, bind together to get through it. And if we do get through it, then I think that, it can be something that guys will learn from, because we're going to have another time during the season where we lose 4 out of 5 and have some ugly losses. So hopefully we can use this as a learning experience. And it's not fun. I don't wish we were going through this, but hopefully that guys can kind of take this and learn from it and really make it a positive.
Were you surprised at the opportunity to get David Bodie signed the way you did in such a club-friendly way? And how indicative of that little sort of flash negotiation is that of larger forces currently at work in the game?
Well, I think a guy like David, I mean, he's such a hard worker. He grinded his way through the minor leagues in sort of the most admirable way. I think that, a lot of our guys on our team, they're high first-round picks. They really kind of blew through the minor leagues quickly and were on every top prospect list. And, I think that – and that's wonderful in its own right. But I think a guy like David Bodie, to really grind through the minor leagues and be unheralded and just keep working and keep working, I think it's a wonderful thing. And I think when a guy like that is presented with a chance to sort of secure his family's future and know that he knows that, the Cubs admire, what he's done. I just think that's something that's a win-win for both sides. And, he was excited to talk about a long-term deal. I'm glad we could get something done. And as far as larger forces, I think that obviously the guys like Harper and Machado, they got paid a ton of money this winter. But I think the fact that the free agent market sort of dragged on forever, I think that, publicly those guys talked about not exactly enjoying the process. And I think there's been a lot of players that have, decided, hey, listen, if I can get paid what I think I'm worth and I can stay in, where I am, maybe this is the right thing to do. So I don't think the flurry of extensions is an accident. I think it is some reaction to not so much how much guys got paid in free agency, but just the fact that the process certainly didn't seem enjoyable, and it certainly got dragged out. I think guys looked at their own situations and thought they were pretty positive.
I think the Bodie deal is fantastic. I think it gives you guys some potential future financial flexibility. Boy, that's a lot of F's and a horribly worded question, Jed, but we'll work through it together, you and I. Thinking, though, as you look out to free agency, there are names, there are pitchers that can help. Does what's happened here change the mindset at all? Does it take more than five games to do that? I know you guys have mentioned where the budget is and where it can't go a number of times, but as those two guys specifically stand out there, I know you can't comment on individual players, but there are arms there, and I wonder if your perspective has changed or if you could see it changing given the struggles so far.
Yeah, no, I mean, our focus is entirely internal right now. Like I said before, we have guys that have long track records of success and guys that are pitching a ton of big games in the postseason. And, I think that our focus has to be on getting those guys right. And, we have some guys on the DL right now that we think can also come and help us. We have guys in Iowa who almost made our team that had really good springs that can help us. And so I feel like, right now we're focused on the guys that are on the 25-man roster. We know that we're going to need a lot of pitchers to get through the season. And like I said, some of those will come off the DL. Some of those will come from Iowa, but that's our focus. And, are we spending a lot of time trying to figure that out? Absolutely. But our focus is not on what's out there. It's on what we have.
Jed, thanks as always. Look forward to talking again soon.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
That is Jed Hoyer. He's been brought to you by the Chicago Wolves with four remaining home games left. The playoff-bound Chicago Wolves have some great promotional nights. Saturday is STEM and trading cards night, courtesy of Vienna B. Free parking this season, courtesy of Kia. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. All right. Lots there.
The solutions are there. I mean, they've got to trust the fixes they've made. They've got to trust their process. And that's a very difficult thing to do when you've lost ball games the way they've had. That's how Jed put it.
They have made this commitment, and they have spent an entire offseason doubling down on this group and trusting this group. So I'm not surprised that they're doing anything but continuing to stay the course.
312-644-6767. That's the phone number. You just heard Cubs GM Jed Hoyer. Want to know what you think? It is our Back to Baseball broadcast down here in the lobby of 1-2 Pru, courtesy of our friends at Redemption Rye and Sweetwater Tavern Grill. They've brought some food over and things. And we're also, later today, giving away some things that you've been applying for the entirety of this offseason. We're going to give away a pair of Cubs season tickets later today.
And the World Series trophy is going to make an appearance here. You want to take your picture with that and get your new Twitter avatar.
That's at noon, right?
Yeah, it's going to be at noon, and people can get in line and take pictures with it and all that. But is that Eric? Is that his name? Turn his head.
He's kind of leaving bottles of whiskey and bourbon around.
He's not looking at the bottles of whiskey.
All right, let's go to break so I can make a run and steal a bottle.
Let's do that. What do you think of what you heard from Jed Hoyer? 312-644-6767. Bernstein and McKnight on the score. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Spring football is on. Join Coach Fitz and the Cats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State and Iowa. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Looking forward to a lovely lunch provided by Sweetwater Tavern and Grill. They're now reopened, newly remodeled, celebrating their 10-year anniversary on the Mag Mile in the heart of Michigan Avenue, just north of Millennium Park, south of the Chicago River, steps from the Theater District, the best place to watch the college tournament on Michigan Avenue.
Could certainly go for a sandwich from Sweetwater in just a few. You know, you asked
Jed
Hoyer.
I like the Caesar salad with salmon.
Oh, yeah? That's really a winner for you? Yeah, good. Yep. Well, we got plenty of things to aim for. You asked Jed whether or not this coming start from Yu Darvish tonight, his second after 2 2/3 of some really rough stuff in Texas, but a lot of swing and miss stuff in Texas, was like felt like this must-have kind of thing.
And he didn't deny it.
He didn't. He mentioned a couple of times that throughout the interview, and Jed's great, he always is, and it's so cool to have GMs and presidents of baseball operations in this town, like those two, Theo and Jed and Rick, who are as transparent as they've been the last couple of seasons. But, you know, there's this seeming incongruence that happens when you've got urgency.
Or incongruity, either
versus
one.
Yeah, I mean, is that the way you do that? Adjective that? All right, well, there you go. That's why you're here. And then the thing that you've got to win ball games.
Right.
But you can't try too hard to win ball games because then it's harder to win ball games. And I kind of get that from having been around what is a baseball schedule. Like, you cannot ask these dudes to be on 15.
I think
for
it's
12 hours of their day.
I think urgency is also about accountability.
I think that's a better way to look at it.
I think so, but I don't know, because you know, when Meatball Theo's rampaging around demanding everybody be better at baseball, it's hard to know exactly from where that's coming sometimes. We asked for your reaction to what you heard, and in Chicago Heights, this is Joe on the score.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. My thing is, I think it's a mixed message. I think that the message they're sending is, yeah, we want urgency. We want this. We want that. And you guys be better at baseball. And you guys go do this. But by the way, have fun. Okay, if Joe Maddon, and I'm a big, you know, as much as I love Joe Maddon, I love what Theo, everybody's done. Joe Maddon, accountability, and that's a great word to use, you know, for a guy like Hap, who strikes out too much, or a guy like Baez, who takes, you know, the selfish swings with two strikes. You know, I wish that the guy's more accountable, but I think it has to be done. If this is your guy, and this is the big word, is trust, then you have to go with the guy that got you there, okay, by his terms, because you're saying one thing, you know, about, you know, being accountable, but you got to trust these guys. And I don't care. That's a universal thing. If you don't trust your guys, they feel it. And you're saying, you know, play perfect and play this and play this, and, oh, by the way, have fun. Okay, well, how do you do that? I mean, how do you do that? And I think this is a big thing now, is it's starting to affect their legacy. And they're feeling the pressure. And that pressure is going downhill, you know, onto the players. And it's onto the field. Now, yeah, I mean, they get off to a bad start, whatever, but you can just feel, you can feel the pressure. And the culture was okay with majority. Tweaking is one thing. Accountability is one thing. But the urgency and that pressure is coming down from them, and they're, now they're trying to be in it but not be in it. I mean, if your bosses came to you and say, hey, by the way, the ratings are down. You know, you guys do this, do that, do this, do that. Oh, yeah, and by the way, have fun. Okay, this is there's a reason why you guys are successful. Okay, we can tweak some things, and, hey, here's some issues we have, but we trust you guys. You guys are here for a reason. You've been here for a while. Okay, we trust the process, whatever, and it's a joint thing. We're gonna figure this problem out together. That's one thing. But this is a whole different thing.
Joe, appreciate
great call.
It.
It's a really passionate, well delivered, well thought out call.
Apparently, he's been in our 8 o'clock meetings.
Right. I was just saying we wouldn't know anything about that. But I would tell you that what Theo would probably say at this point, and I mean, I don't claim to be in his head, but I think what he'd say is they're just not mutually exclusive. We may see it as mutually. He said what he would tell you is you can be accountable and urgent and prepared while also every day playing baseball and enjoying what you're doing. I don't think it's necessarily binary, even though it's really easy to see it that way.
When you hear guys get the plaudit of he goes about his business the right way, that's what it means to do that. You are able to balance the fun of a baseball season, the ridiculousness of being on a 25-man roster for 187 days, and the seriousness of the work. And I also think what Theo would add to what Joe's saying here is, remember, they're pushing. That's a little bit too forceful. They're making sure that it's reinforced that this came from players, not just them. And that's in, you know, Jed re-mentioned that when we talked to him a couple of minutes ago. It's actually in the article that Sahadev and Patrick wrote on The Athletic. They went to Lester. And Lester brought some of this stuff up. This is from the exit interviews, and this is from guys like Wilson Contreras saying that I didn't do enough in that back half of the season. I let slip my responsibilities, and we, as a team, have to be responsible to each other to pick up those loose ends. That comes from everybody. It's not just a top-down, even though it feels like that sometimes.
It's too bad caller Joe couldn't have been your Uber driver last night.
Oh, God, that was something. Hochberg was nice. It was wonderful to go down to the Hawks game and hang out with Jay and Danny and Shane. Jay and Danny, anyway.
I was just saying, did you say Shane?
It was a great, great night. It was a really fun time, but I'm heading down, and I had to get in the car right about the time the Cubs game started. So, you know, I get in. The guy has a Blackhawks sticker on the car and is wearing a Cubs spring training hat. So right away, I'm thinking, okay, this is great. I'm going to be able to ask for the game to get on. No problem. He's going to listen. This will be super. I ask him to turn the game on, and he says, I can't even listen to these guys anymore. I don't even want to. And then he immediately turns the game on because he wanted to. And I, you know, throughout the course of talking with this guy, he mentions that he's a score caller, which we love you, Mike. Really appreciate you. But he
sure,
said the words.
Wasn't Bill on Capitol Hill driving
you? No, it wasn't Bill. I would that it was. He said Frank the Pope words. I would give back the World Series title if only tickets were cheaper now. That was said. Oh. I asked him three times if he meant it. He absolutely did, and then he dropped me off at the United Center, and I went on my way.
Well, now I definitely believe that he's a score caller.
He meant it with all of his heart.
He would give back the World Series championship to have less expensive tickets.
It was amazing. Absolutely
I can't
amazing.
Believe you didn't tumbleweed yourself at that point.
Just tuck and roll out of the car when he dropped it down to 15. It's probably worth the risk.
I'll get out here. Bye! Mark and Huntley, you're on the score. What's up, Mark?
Good morning. All this just cries that it's a big smokescreen that, you know, Theo's just setting Joe up for the fall. Everything that was wrong was purposefully, like, against what Joe normally does. Oh, Joe, you have to grow. You have to do this. Well, he took a team that wasn't expected to do anything and went to the NLCS in the first year. Three straight NLCS is a World Series. I Theo had a history before he even came to Chicago of having bad free agent signings. Well, now that the team's all built up, and he has to supplement it with free agent signings, it's starting to play out again. You have over $60 million in Chatwood, Darvish, Morrow, Hayward this year. So when they say there's no money available, they have the second highest payroll. They've been spending. The problem is bad spending, and you don't throw good money after bad. And it just seems like everything they're saying, they were all tight-lipped early on when, you could say when things were bad, and they'd never let anything leak out. But now all of a sudden it's, the players wanted this too. It's so convenient that all this stuff is leaking out now.
I don't think it's really leaking.
No, I mean, they've put it out there.
Telling you.
Mark, appreciate the phone call. It has been a rough start to the season, no doubt, and it's. I think it's fair to call a couple of things into question as the Cubs have begun 1-4. We are at our Back to Baseball broadcast. We will bring in Lawrence Holmes for transition in just a few. It's Bernstein and McKnight on 670 The Score.
Thanks to everybody who joined us today at 1-2 Prue. Thanks to Jason Benetti. He was a delight.
Fun morning.
Len Casper, Jed Hoyer, Joe Ostrowski had the updates. Producers were Zawoski, Camp, and Diaz. Tomorrow, Eli Hershkovich will be in studio with us previewing the Final Four.
Excellent.
Tyler Dunn of Bleacher Report, who absolutely has rolled a grenade at the feet of the Green Bay Packers. If you have not read that, it is a bombshell. He's going to talk about that with us tomorrow. And Jonah Carey will have his weekly MLB hit. We will get his perspective on everything that's going on. Huge thanks to Sweetwater Tavern and Grill. Huge thanks to Redemption Rye and Bourbon. Thanks to everybody who's been a part of this. Dave Miska, our engineer, Brian Gertsch as well. When we come back, we will do transition with Lawrence Holmes. Keep it here on The Score.
Wow, what a day.
Our time of caretaking the Back to Baseball live broadcast is coming to an end. The next 2 hours, it will be Lawrence Holmes presiding over the lobby of Prudential Plaza. Hello, sir.
I'm probably going to make people uncomfortable because I stand the whole time. So we'll see. If people are like, why is he standing up there giving his speech?
Well, you're not going to pace, are you?
It's
just
possible.
Like go back and forth?
I mean, in the space that I usually do in the studio, you do the two-step.
Yeah, you do the two-step.
And now that I have something that goes with me, absolutely.
Now that you're you can orate from up here.
On a platform here, yeah, I'm trying to think what you could do. You could bang your shoe while on Nikita Khrushchev UN.
Do a couple bars of Hamilton if you felt like it.
Or you could do a
full-blown,
like a hardcore Southern Baptist sermon.
I could do all of those things.
Yes.
Or I could do what Connor. I was telling Connor that Connor gave us some Shakespeare while you guys were talking about Wilson Contreras.
Yeah, he'll do that.
He gave us a Wilson Contreras let slip.
Yes.
His responsibilities. Cry havoc!
Let's slip the dogs of war.
And let's slip the dogs of war!
Oh, good.
See? That got people looking. Yeah, yeah. That'll work. You do that for 2 hours, people stare.
Yeah, they're going to stare and have me taken out
of
here.
I was going to say, you might get yourself tased. But
sir, this is an Arby's.
Mitch would be like, just send them back upstairs. Because apparently we can't take them outside.
Yeah, I was saying a little while ago that this whole baseball is back rally. I mean, it's kind of a reminder to the Cubs is what it feels like now. Hey, Cubs, baseball's back.
Guys,
you know.
It's I was talking with my buddy Michael Kim about this morning. You're five games in and you're four games back.
Is that good?
Five games in, four games back with and now depending on you, Darvish. You're now there. I heard you guys talking with Jed.
Yeah.
About and he didn't push back against that. This is a huge game for the Cubs, and it's game six of the season. That's insane.
I know.
And you know why it's even bigger? Where are you going after tonight?
Yeah, Milwaukee.
You're going to the place with the people and the guy and the thing and the MVP.
The indestructible baseball player in Christian Yelich, the guy who cannot be defeated right now.
Look, I don't think that this is going to happen.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that this is going to happen.
Right.
But it's possible. When you all return to work on Monday,
Joe Maddon will be fired.
The Cubs will be eight games out of first place.
That's too many games early on. That's a lot of games to make up. Well, the real daunting part of this, I mean, Lawrence, you know, you if you're playing and you're watching a pitcher warm up a little bit, or your first guy comes back to the dugout or something, and he's looking at you going, that dude, I know I just struck out, but that dude cannot find it.
Mm-hmm.
You know how that changes everybody in a dugout. You know how that changes everybody when they walk up to the plate.
Everyone's like, go get a bat. Let's go.
You know, sprint to the thing.
Let's get after this
guy.
The
way you bring this up, I should give credit where credit's due here. That off the air, a while back, Nick Shepkowski pointed this out to me. When we were debating the whole Theo urgency thing.
Uh-huh.
The whole got to get off to a hot start thing. And Nick said, well, wait a second, because playing devil's advocate here. He said, what if it goes sideways over this period of time? Look where you're going and look who you're playing. He kind of laid out a scenario like this that kind of had a doomsday feel to it as we're moving the DEFCON number around today.
It's pretty terrifying. Yeah. Like, even watching last night, where you're sitting there like, okay, they come up with a big hit. Wilson Contreras with that bomb that he hit. I mean, he got all of them.
A little bat flip.
Nothing wrong with a little bit of bat flip. Yeah. And then you go, oh, the thing's about to happen again. That thing that is happening to them so far, where it doesn't matter what reliever you bring in, whatever the choice is, that choice seems to be the wrong one.
Yeah.
And that choice was Steve Cishek. And he's like, I don't know where the ball's going.
No.
At all.
I can measure the start of the season by the number of times I've already sent somebody the throwing up emoji, and it's too many times.
Yeah, it's way too many for what's going on with the Cubs. Can I just say that since this is a back to baseball, I did enjoy watching the White Sox yesterday.
Here for you.
And I am
absolutely.
And I'm very much enjoying Ambush Moncada.
0-2. 0-2 when he comes around in that thing.
That's a 333 WRC plus right now.
Hey, him and Abreu are hitting the ball.
I was telling Jason Benetti when we had him here, one of my favorite things to watch is an angry Carlos Rodon, but as he's controlling the anger, you know, you'd watch Sale do that. It was like Sale, but before he'd given up the home run that inevitably doomed his start against the Indians or something. It was like watching him throw ticked off. And
ticked
really
off at the guys
well.
Behind him.
Amen.
Because
like, that
you
was,
can't pick the ball up or it was, throw it to the right place.
Well, get used to that with
his
the White
bouncing
Sox.
Back was really something.
Get used to that. I mean, they're going to be kicking balls all
but
over the
not,
place.
Sure.
Not Yolmer. Not like he has.
Yolmer's had some bad defensive plays already this year.
He's had terrible defensive plays this year, but he's not been that guy ever in his career.
I feel like Yolmer should be a team's 25th man.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I think that he would have tremendous value of, like, every now and again, you're like, hey, Yolmer's starting today. Awesome.
If you played Jose for 3 weeks just to see what you had, I'd be fine with that. I'd understand that. And I think as much fun as Yolmer is and as much I love talking to the guy, I think that's where you're at.
Yeah, I mean, he there's a place for him. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that the place is him playing every day. I guess that's my point.
That's fair.
I feel bad now because he's such a nice guy.
It's like, he's very lovable.
Totally took a shot at Yolmer for no reason, just because I wanted to talk baseball.
What is on your plate today?
Well, what else is there here but us talking about what's going on with the two baseball teams in town? I expected I threw it out last night. It's one of those things where I said I'll just throw this out on Twitter and then I'll check back in on it in the morning. It's like, tell me your feelings about what's going on with the Cubs, and I got all sorts of stuff from people last night. So I'm looking forward to a few phone calls on it. I'm going to bring back you guys talking with Jed at 1 o'clock, and we had to bump Lisa Ann to do that.
Wait, Lisa Ann, the porn star?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. What? The fantasy football analyst.
Why was Lisa Ann coming on?
She was going to be on the show. We were going to talk about fantasy sports.
Okay.
Huh. And other stuff.
And other stuff.
Now I'll probably other just stuff. Be on the podcast, which famous, might be a safer place to have it anyway.
She famously portrayed Sarah Palin.
Yes, right. In Nailin' Palin.
Yeah. They had to spell it wrong, though, right? They had to put a Y in there.
No, I don't think
parody. They're protected by parody.
Sure I'm pretty sure that they were.
I don't think it was a Y. Well, they don't look it up, Connor.
It's
a quick Google.
On your phone. Yeah, you know what? He can look it up on his
that's
phone.
That's true. It's not a work
it's
computer.
It's not a work
it's
thing.
It's company
so you're
Wi-Fi,
good.
Though, so I feel like they probably track me.
That's
anyway.
Not going to be a regular aspect of the show, is it? Just
occasionally, if she wants to be on the show, I'm fine with it. I mean, she knows her stuff. She hosts a nationally syndicated fantasy show.
And didn't she do that like a whole bit about the number of paramours she has who currently play in the NBA?
Yes, she has. Yes. She has rules too. She has rules about, you know, obviously have to be over 18, not married, not more than one guy on one particular team.
It's like Sarandon.
I was just gonna say. So it sounds
Bull
like
Durham.
Baseball Annie.
Yeah.
So So we're going to do, we decided that we'd rather hear from Jed instead.
Okay.
Today.
Wow. Today.
Just today, though. So I thank you guys for, it's going to be good program, and I am looking forward to talking with people. As strange as it might sound, because you can, I'm sure you guys dealt with this too, there's a palpable anger and frustration among Cubs fans, and it's justified.
Yeah, everybody's feeling the same feelings right now. None of the feelings are good. They put themselves in this position. There is an element of mixed message involved. Be good at baseball. Be better. Have fun.
Have fun, guys, but this month's really important. Oh, let me grind the bat down a little bit more.
Have fun. Don't forget to have fun.
Everything will be fine.
You think they're having fun?
No.
It doesn't look like fun.
No,
are you having fun watching them?
No.
I'm not having fun watching them either. It's horrible. So that's what we will do today. That is Dan Bernstein. That is Connor McKnight. Together, they are Bernstein and McKnight. You can hear them 9 until noon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.